It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. You know, it's the email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so just a few minutes. Very quickly, we're going to be... let me pick my nose here while the camera's off of me. All right, thank you.
Oh, my God, you're disgusting.
What? Oh, see, now he's going to
film. And now he's zooming in.
What? Like, I'm not supposed to...
Well, you're guys scratching it. That just sounds really bad.
A guy's got to scratch his nose every now and again. Well, not picking. Not like I wasn't nose mining.
I think we're backpedaling here on the issues.
This is not the droid you're looking for.
Tina's not taking any audio right now.
Really?
Oh, fantastic.
No, we're trying to look. We're looking intense, see?
Oh, is this like B-roll footage? Is this? Okay.
Ah.
This is going to be the direct cut. Wait,
is he getting a shot of the meter?
Right there.
Okay.
We're whoring it.
This is actually me, because, you know, we just changed the name of the station recently. We were Johnson, now we're Solid State Radio, blah, blah, blah. So this is me this morning, my panicked phone call to start at like 11:50. Coins coming. Put the logo everywhere you can think of. Because there's always the two shots, as we've talked about ad infinitum. There's always the shot of the bouncing meters, the shot of the phone, shot of me. And so it's like, and I was like, everywhere you can possibly imagine them pointing the camera, like, make sure that there's a logo there. So you watch this tonight. I do got to give Coin credit, though, the last time they actually identified the station correctly. They said AM 970 last time, which is usually they just do everything they can to avoid identifying the station, like, in any helpful way.
You know, by they, meaning the media in general.
Meaning the media in general, not Coin News 6. They do bring the news home in a timely, accurate fashion. I find their news to be informative and unbiased. This is me preparing for serious mode. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. So in, like, 2 minutes, I'm going to give you the secret sound. I will play that one more time. Now, when you hear the secret news sound, you call 503-733.
What is secret? Now, Dean, the camera guy, knows about the sound.
Yeah, but he's not recording it. He can't prove that we played it.
That's true.
503-733-2970. And, Tim, we're going to be asking callers to clog the phone lines here to make this program look fantastically successful and popular. And to weigh in on what?
We're going to be talking about the voter turnout and the election, where the results came in last night and not as good as people thought they would.
Okay, so now theoretically, and what we'll do is, Sarah, we won't go to a break, actually, but we'll come back as though. Can we play as though we were coming back from a break? So we'll do like a little return and a pick up. If we can have like a call Rick Emerson now, one of those.
Yeah.
So, Tim, based on your experience as a journalist and someone who's worked in talk radio for a long time, as have I, what sort of things would you think the audience should be saying as part of these phone calls?
Well, I think it's a disappointing turnout due to the fact that Portland is such a politically active city.
These are your talking points, people.
Yes. Very few people really cared about this election. As a matter of fact, the returns show only 32% of the ballots came back.
Oh, that's okay.
That's terrible.
It's good, and Dean's getting good concerned face footage of you right now.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Every single one of you.
Look angry, Rick.
No, let me be pointing my pen in a self-righteous fashion.
You know this isn't interesting for anyone but us, right?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
It's whoring, baby. We're going to be pimping tonight. All right. I'm going to be jabbing my pen angrily in the air and saying things in a very self-righteous and morally outraged fashion. As though I really cared about this issue in any real way, and as though it meant anything, as though I even knew what I was talking about, as though I had any grasp of the issues or the comments, the platitudes that are gushing from my mouth like so many gushy things. There you go. You got good footage? All right, there you go. So you see me tonight, and I'm going to be looking morally outraged. That's what that was right there. You heard it being put together.
That's good for half a second.
All right. And I think probably if somebody can say something about... Here's the other thing. If somebody can throw out a comment like this. Rick, our brave men and women are overseas right now fighting for our right to vote, fighting for democracy, ensuring that others have the right that Americans are so callously throwing away. All right, say something like that. All right, are we ready?
We're ready.
All right, so we're going to... I implore you now. We only have to hold this together
for
like...
Why don't you give the phone number
out a couple times? For like 7 minutes. We only have to pretend to be a real station for like less than one segment. Okay, so I'm going to give you the phone number. When you hear the secret news sound, call, weigh in thoughtfully and passionately on this election. The number is 503-733-2970. All right, and we are going to, in just one moment, we will come back and we will... Okay, so... Sarah is now kind of putting these phones. She's getting them on hold. And
this is getting more exciting by the moment.
At your earliest opportunity, why don't you play the return?
Move your water container.
All right.
I am.
All right. All right. Are we ready? Okay, hold on. I will play the secret sound, then we'll play the return?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Live
from Portland. The Rick Emerson Show continues.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
AM 970, Solid State Radio.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Taking your calls at 503-733-2970, talking about the election which happened yesterday. And for more on that, we're going to go to our man, Tim Riley. He is giving you the news right there from the City Desk. Ladies and gentlemen, the City Desk with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Oregonians should be ashamed of themselves. Only 32% of ballots were returned. This is the lowest number in 46 years for an election in this state. The who of the big book? Ted Kulongowski. Ted Kulongowski has beat Jim Hill. And on the Republican side, it's Ron Saxon, who has a good name for governor. Also, Diane Lynn has been trounced. She only got 23.22% of the vote. So the big winner is Ted Wheeler with close to 70% of the vote.
And I don't think that comes as much surprise. Diane Lynn was a very divisive figure in this community. Diane Lynn, for all of her political acumen, seems to have squandered that in recent days. She was, I think, what political pundits referred to as a polarizing figure. Never more so than on the issue of gay marriage, which I know a lot of people in Portland feel that she tried to foist upon the community without the proper due process of law and the electoral procedure. For more on this, let's go to the phones. It's 503-733. We're talking about the disappointing voter turnout. I think the real question is, why didn't more people go to the polls and take advantage of this most basic fundamental right?
Good question, Rick.
And people are fighting for our rights overseas. It's like they just don't care.
That's right, Tim Riley.
Let's go to the phones. Hi, I've just hung up on someone. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Yes, Mr. Emerson, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike. What do you think about this low voter turnout, Mike?
Well, you know, like you said, freedom isn't free, and, you know, if it costs a stamp, that's a small price to pay. Like the famous song said, freedom costs a buck 05. I believe that was your friend Madden Trader song.
It is true, and, you know, freedom is one of those things that you don't appreciate until it's gone, and you don't appreciate something as simple and basic as the right to express yourself to your elected leaders until it's not there anymore. And I think people overseas are fighting and dying for that right at this very moment. And if we can't take advantage of that, the question has to be asked, Mike, what does that say about us as a society?
All right. Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
You know, thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Rick, could you talk a little more?
Trying to solidify the brand. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. You're on AM 970. What do you think about the low electric? What do you think? Hold on, Chris. You're on AM 970. What do you think about the low turnout in yesterday's election?
Well, I'm not very surprised. But I did. I voted about a month ago on the toilet. So, but I'm what you call a socially responsible libertarian.
And
so I vote every time.
Great. Thank you, sir. Well, if only we had more Americans like you, Chris.
Well, probably not, because there'd be a lot of changes.
Oh, okay. Thanks. All right. Thanks.
All right, then. It seems like it's too much trouble for some people to lick a stamp and slap it on an envelope, doesn't it?
You know, in my day, Tim Riley, voting was... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. You're on AM 970. We're talking about the low voter turnout. What do you think about that?
Well, Rick, I'm George from Wilsonville, and I'm 45 years old. I've been voting since I was 21, mm-hmm. and I've got to say this is the first time I've never voted in an election because of the fraudulent Diebold voting machines that are involved nationwide. Maybe not here, but I'm protesting this vote. There's no reason we need computers when voting, and so until they take a sledgehammer to those voting machines, I'm refusing to vote.
So it was a fill-in and mail-in ballot.
Nevertheless, I am going to refuse until we get all computerized mechanisms out of the voting process. Canada uses only pen and ink, paper ballots, and they were able to count all 50 million of their ballots in 4 hours using little old blue-haired ladies in garages each garage counting not more than 300 votes.
Okay. Great. George, thank you. And I appreciate you taking, because the...
those were foolish comments.
All right, thank you, George.
Hey, give me
thanks,
a
George.
Hey, will you, please?
No, what?
A Brit 6, please.
No, go away. I don't know what a Brit 6 is. It's a news program.
Okay, so, repeating, Ted Kulongowski has won the primary over Jim Hill. He had those commercials that everyone should be afraid that he's going to pollute the water if he starts another casino.
Oh, and yeah, Jim Hill was all about the casinos.
I think that's
by the commercials, right?
I think that
Ted Kulongowski wants to pollute your water.
I think he shakes babies. I think the,
No, he kisses babies.
I'm really surprised that this election didn't... I got nothing. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. You're on AM 970. We're talking about the low turnout in yesterday's election. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, hi, Rick. I'm a political science major at Portland State, and I just think that this low turnout indicates a gross lack of faith in the Democratic Republican system of our government.
Now, do you feel like that is exclusive to Portland, or do you feel like people as a whole in the country are losing faith in the political process?
Oh, it's definitely a nationwide problem.
And what do you see as the steps that can remedy this? How can we get more people to vote in the future, take advantage of this most basic right?
We just need to encourage people that unless they go out and vote, political extremists will take over.
And so you believe by people not voting, they are effectively ceding the political landscape to people with extreme views on both ends of the ideological spectrum.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
God bless America. All right. Thank you.
Perhaps we need a...
That's one, baby.
That's one.
All right, let's try. Okay, let's try
right,
a couple more.
All right, just the AM 970 solid state radio though.
Okay,
no, it's too long.
No, I'll just go with.
It'll be
the frequency.
It'll be cut.
All right. Well, let me try sneaking one in. See how it works. All right. So yeah, Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 solid state radio. We're talking about the low voter turnout in yesterday's election, trying to figure out if Portlanders just don't care. Hi, who's this?
This is Bud.
Hi, Bud. What are your thoughts on the low voter turnout?
Well, it was about 31%, wasn't it?
I believe...
32, I think.
That's right, it's 32%.
I believe the voter turnout was something like 32%. What are your thoughts on people just not voting, sir?
Well, I'm morally outraged because, you know, my dad fought in the World War to give us the right to vote. On the other hand, if I'm not mistaken, in the state of Oregon, isn't it voting limited to white male landowners? So that might be about the right percent. Could you help me on this, please, Tim?
No, I can't help you on that. I'm sorry.
Why not?
That's...
Okay, let me just reach over and... Okay, thank you.
Did I tell you that... Eric Sten, the fellow with the big space between his teeth, also won again.
There you go. Eric Sten...
Remember, he did the magician.
I dig Eric Sten, and he referenced Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And didn't the... I'm sorry.
So him and Ginny Burdick were going at each other at Canada's Town.
Ginny Burdick, who kind of looks like the woman who would ladle the food onto your tray at school.
Mm-hmm. And Salzman, the guy with the cool yard signs, also won.
Yeah, but who was that nutty guy that was that voted for Bush like 9 times? Oh, I'm sorry, I slipped out of... see how easy it is to fall back into our own habits? Sorry. Wait, hold on.
I can't remember...
No, don't get on camera saying you can't remember. We know we're a news station.
Coin
6 is filming.
I have no idea.
Be real, be professional. Okay, here we go again.
The guy who played the harmonica, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, trying again. Serious in 3, 2, 1. Rick Emerson Show, we're talking about the low voter turnout in yesterday's election. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Mr. Emerson. You've got Mike in Portland here.
Hi, Mike in Portland. Why do you think there's such a low voter turnout in our great city?
I think yesterday's events display the negative ambiguities in today's electoral process. Myself, I'm tired of truculent, verbose, obtuse people placating our minds with overly zealous banter that our world will now be saved if we elect them. Rick, what do you think? I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. We're talking about the low voter turnout here on AM 970. Why do you think so few people are voting in Portland?
I feel that so few people are voting in Portland. The apathetic Bush-esque numbers just truly indicate that people don't have any faith in their city or state governments. And it, in and of itself, just creates this miasma of pure uncaring apathy and nihilism.
Do you feel like the apathy in Portland is reflective of a greater apathy in the country on the part of the voters?
Well, yes, I do. Yes, I do, Rick. It's it's almost scary to feel that we have no faith in state or federal government.
Great. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No problem. This is Gerald from Portland.
All right, Gerald. Genius. Genius. Thank you. All right, there you go. So that's what you want to be. That's the kind of call you should be giving. All right. Sounded like he was calling from jail, though. You're right. No touching. All right, the Rick Emerson Show is being filmed by Coin 6. They're here. We got to look normal. We're Coin News 6. They're bringing the news home later today, but they got to film it here, and so we're trying to look like a real news show. Tim, why don't you do a reset?
Well, anyway, it looks as though it's a landslide on the Democratic side with Ted Kulongoski, and nobody fell for Jim Hill's commercial that Governor Kulongoski was going to pollute the water with a new casino over by the Dells.
I wonder if maybe part of this is just the voters really being turned off and repelled by a lot of the scare tactics and a lot of the same old mudslinging that has represented so much of the voting process and so much of the campaigning process in this country and in this county for much of the past decade. Let's get some more phone calls here. Hi, you're on AM 970. Why do you think there's such low voter turnout in Portland?
Hey, Rick, first let me say it's great to have you back on the air.
Thank you, sir.
970 AM.
Thank you.
But, I didn't vote in this, and maybe it's because I'm not clear exactly what the election was. It was a primary election, right?
Yes, indeed, it was the primary election.
No, it was a primary, yes.
It was not the November election yes. as you're used to.
But we're only voting for who we get to vote for later, and I think that's why
correct.
A lot of people didn't run out to vote, because really it's not the one that matters. I don't know, that's kind of how I felt about it.
Right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for weighing in, sir.
All right.
I think that's a really honest opinion because, there are usually like two lead runners.
Sarah is like, it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
Like voting.
No, I think it's going to be really interesting watching now all these people go head to head against each other.
No, it's true. And you don't get any of the good mudslinging until later anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The only good mudslinging was at that candidate's gun wild thing. All right, we'll do like two more and then we got to break here. All right, ready? So these have got to be good. Okay, hone your thoughts. Okay. We're talking about the low voter turnout, and yesterday you're on AM 970. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Rick?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm a truck driver down here in Salem, Oregon, mm-hmm. and I think the problem is crooked politicians would got us so pathetic about the whole situation. The only way to really make a change anymore, I believe, is to band together and vote with our rifle.
No!
Perhaps there should be beheadings at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Okay,
that'll
we're
get
done. We're done. We're finished. We're breaking now. We're breaking now. No, no, no!
And people are in the best behavior for at least 5 minutes. Oh, what? At least 10 minutes.
It was going so well. Vote with our rifle. The Rick Emmer, CBS Radio does not endorse. No! Wrong. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's a regular show. I'm pretty sure that was genius. Vote with a rifle. No, no. Don't do that. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. All right. You know, Dean. Daryl's our guy from Fox. Dean, who was camera guy from Coin that was just here, he really spun straw into gold last time. And we gave him, like, even less to work with last time. So I am pretty sure that that's going to come out looking fantastic. So there you go. So thank you to Dean.
It's almost like it's a different radio station.
It really was. So thank you to everybody who just called. Thank you to everybody with your thoughtful political comments. And when... I should know this. When does Coin's News air?
T
TiVo has stripped me of my ability to know when anything is actually on.
I believe
on.
It's 5, 6, and 6.30, isn't it?
Yeah, 5, 5.30, 6, and 11.
So really, is it every half hour, 5, 5.30, and 6, and then at 11?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, check local listings for details. So Coin News will be on...
I know for sure at 5 and for sure at 11.
All right, so there you go. Coin News 6, tonight, featuring the... And check out, by the way, how Sarah has put the logo on absolutely everything we could think. Next, so we got to take it even further, though. We're going to put it on our forehead.
Yeah, we're covering, like, water bottles and our food.
Yeah,
let's just go over the top and see if anyone notices.
So it will be, and true to form, though, it's like, don't they just have the stock footage of phones ringing and, like, the meters bouncing? It's like, you don't think they would need new footage of that now.
It's easier to put together, though, if it's all the same.
I suppose. So, in any event, so we got the footage everywhere. Or the logo everywhere here. So on the phones, on the meters, and all that. All right. 503-733-2970. Jim Roop. Oh, no. We're done. We're done pretending to be. No.
It's some guy who's not pretending. He's really complaining.
Does he know that we're not a real news show?
Yeah. I don't know.
Does he sound compelling?
Yes.
Are you serious?
No,
or
he doesn't sound boring.
All right.
Is there going to be that, Rick, you're making a mockery of the electrical process?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right, fine. All right, but I'm keeping the kill switch handy. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello there.
Hi there. Who is this?
This is Aaron out of Tualatin.
Hi, Aaron in Tualatin. How's life in the big city?
It's decent. It's a little hot out there. I need to go buy a window.
Okay. Well, we're off to a rolling start here. What? How can I help you, Aaron?
Well, I was just thinking, it could be a little better if we could get some actual, serious opinions in there. Like, a lot of the stuff that you were getting in seemed a little, the people were trying, you could tell, thank God for the audience, but it was just a little overzealous, I suppose.
Yeah. How long have you been listening to the show?
Basically, the first day that you came back on the air, I wasn't here before the unpleasantness.
All right. And we thank. Don't get me wrong. We thank you for listening. We're glad you're out there, and we our audience is fantastic, both new and old listeners. But I do have to clear it now. Now you know that this we're not really a news show, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
All right. So there you go.
Let's just hoping that we can get a.
I mean, you realize that you're listening to a segment that's basically sandwiched between a penis watch and a clown watch, right?
Yeah.
The thing that preceded us was Whitney Houston and a vibrator. So perhaps if you... Again, I'm not trying to be callous about this.
You could get something a little more...
cerebral?
A little more serious to say.
Wrong show.
Word spread.
But if you watch porn tonight,
that would be NPR, wouldn't
it? Yeah, really. I'm not saying that there are not issues that are worthy of discussion. I'm just saying we're the wrong people to be listening to for any serious... Really, let me ask you this.
Well, if I wanted something like that, I'd be turned into, NPR or something like that.
That's what I'm saying.
I love this show.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you... Really, it would be really frightening to me if anybody listened to this program and actually took our opinion seriously or got their political insight from this program. That would disturb me more than people not voting.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying we do one thing, and we do it pretty well, and we don't do any. We know what we know. A man's got to know his limitations. Okay.
All right.
Not
so much as the limitations, but choosing not to branch off into that direction is mostly why I love this show.
All right, but...
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, I don't know
you want me to say something that might make him happy?
Yeah, sure.
Grants past voters have rejected a proposed meals tax by a wide margin. The measure, 74-14, would have placed a 4.85% tax on food and beverages sold in the city's restaurants and eateries, but voters defeated it by more than a 3-to-1 ratio. The measure placed before voters of Grants Pass would have applied to food and drinks sold in establishments, restaurants, drive-through, coffee stand. The store's delis would also be included, but not grocery stores.
There you go. So that one's for Aaron and Tualatin. So
we do care about our community.
It's true.
Grants Pass and the state.
Oh, and by the way, in District 2, Desari Caldwell and Linda Williams are headed for a runoff. That, of course, a three-way race also included Thomas W. Bates.
You just wanted to say three-way.
Yes. So there you go. That's it, man. It's not that I don't care. It's mostly that I don't care.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's the primary. Like, I'm sure we'll give this a lot of discussion when it's November.
And I just don't know what the hell I'm talking... Seriously, I'm not trying to send listeners away to other stations. I'm really not. All I'm saying, though, is like if you're really looking for long, in-depth, like really studious political analysis, really, you shouldn't be tuning to the show anyway.
Like Charlie Rose?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I weep for the Republic if this is where you're getting your political information from, okay? Basically, if it doesn't involve an alligator attacking something or somebody shooting somebody else or somebody inadvertently falling on a piece of glass, I got nothing. All right, let's go to the City Desk Kids with Tim Riley.
From higher towns, the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting.
We have sound here?
Well, I suppose we could if you wanted
no,
to.
No, no, I'm just asking if I should be ready for it.
No.
Okay.
There's nothing to be ready for. Anyway, let me tell you. Oh, we have some Florida news, first of all. We do have Florida news.
Oh, fantastic. Hold on. Some news from where?
Florida.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not able to play the Florida sounder at the moment.
Oh,
you have
it. Do I have it?
No, you do. I put it in. It's A Florida.
Well, we don't have to. We can do election news.
No. Wait for it. No, we will not be denied.
This is your station for Florida news.
Okay, news from where?
Florida. The Sunshine State.
God damn, that was loud.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
What?
I don't. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I like how we crammed all our professionalism into 7 minutes, and now it's all gone. Mm-hmm. It's like the Portrait of Dorian Gray. The rest of the show is crap.
Put on your computer that you can't play it.
You look really good, by the way. You looked not terrible, but, I mean, you looked perhaps
you
not...
You're terrible.
No, I'm saying like an hour and a half ago, Sarah Dillon. I'm just looking...
This is something you do not...
No, listen to me. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm just saying that about an hour and a half ago, you perhaps did not look your best because... No. You look beautiful as always, but maybe not... Not at the glorious peak of your beauty that you sometimes can, because you bicycled in, hot sun, working out, staying fit. You didn't necessarily have a chance I don't know what I'm saying. My whole point, though, is that you look really good. You're going to look good on coin tonight.
Well, thank you.
And just with a little primping. Because you're so close to perfection most of the time, anyway.
And they will grovel at your feet and beg you to stay.
It's
and give you an anchor position.
Oh.
Well, anyway, let's get back to Florida.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that they may be in the market for a new news anchor.
I can be anchor woman.
You could be. Well, let's talk about this Florida news, shall we? A new survey finds Miami to be the worst of the worst cities when it comes to road rage. The In the Driver's Seat Road Rage Survey, commissioned by the National Auto Club, Auto Advantage, as I continue to keep a straight face while reading this, finds Miami drivers to be the least courteous in the country.
Uh-huh.
According to a survey, some of the common road rage triggers of Miami include speeding, tailgating, cutting into traffic, and having parking places stolen. Drivers of Miami are often angered by tailgating, with 63% of drivers saying they see this behavior daily.
I think the road rage trigger is just that you wake up every day and you're living in Miami. That's really what it is, man. You just wake up every day and you're like, oh, God, where am I? Why am I here? So, and it's just nothing but old people there anyway, and they can't drive with a crap, so...
No, the other cities cited for worst in road rage are Phoenix, New York, L.A., and Boston. The cities with the most courteous drivers in the country, according to the survey, is Minneapolis. But who would want to live there?
Seriously.
Among those that also fared well are Nashville, St. Louis, Seattle, and...
Seattle, that's
Atlanta.
A bunch of crap. That's how I know that story is crap. Because the...
This story is crap.
No, it's because... I mean, I don't know if there's road rage as such in Seattle. I mean, Sarah, you spent a lot of time in Seattle, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I lived there. That's where I went to Catholic school.
I don't even know that there's road rage as such, but the gridlock and the traffic are terrible.
It's terrible every time, because I always drive, right past there to go to Bremerton.
Right.
It's always awful. I think it has... Does it have the worst traffic in the country?
Yeah, I don't think so. Well,
maybe
no.
Like,
I mean, it's not...
Like number two.
Maybe per capita. Maybe.
And then the train lets you right off at Skid Row at midnight with nobody else around. You have to fend for yourself. There are no buses, no taxis. All of a sudden, I may be killed here in the next 2 seconds.
I think that L.A. has the worst traffic overall, but I think per capita, because in L.A., it's like, seriously, I had a friend of mine that worked at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and he had to be to work at 8, and he was leaving his house at like 5, and it was like 2 miles away, it's just like, we all know those stories.
Yeah.
You're in L.A., I mean, it's like, you have to go down the 405, literally, like, you'll hear Leica sometimes, you can tell where he's not to work yet, because they're just playing those endless techno bumpers for like 20 minutes, and that's clearly Leica's is on the 405 somewhere. In his Mercedes, unable to get to work.
He drives a Lexus.
Alexa, sorry, but per capita, I think Seattle may have the worst because it is just terrible. And there's no public transit there. That's the other thing is Seattle has no public transit to speak of, not really, not in any real way. So yeah, and you're right, and the train system was. It's pointless. No, it's a bad scene. So there you go. And blah, blah, blah.
Three strippers are suing the Maryland Transportation Authority police for $5 million. Apparently, three male exotic dancers insist they were wrongly arrested and taken advantage of by the officers. The police stopped the three men for a speeding violation. The men said the officers ordered them out of their SUV, forced them to strip, and confiscated $10,000 in cash that the dancers earned as tips.
$10,000?
Oh,
where is this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this in New York?
Baltimore.
In Baltimore? At Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
That's not even...
$10,000?
$10,000?
I have the wrong career.
I mean, that is chump change compared to what strippers make in L.A.
Are you kidding?
No.
No,
I had a roommate who would make $10,000 on a Saturday night alone.
And,
oh,
sure,
my
and,
God.
In L.A. and New York, I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's as the kids say, off the hook of how much they can make. I mean, it's like, if you dance at Scores, which is sort of the gold standard now, or some of those places in Vegas, if you're a hot girl, you can be bringing home like 10 large a night. I mean, it's huge. It's insane.
And then you stash in different safe deposit boxes at different banks.
Yeah. I mean, no, sir, and I always say this, and everybody kind of writes it off as a joke, but if I could be stripping right now for a living, I would do it. If I was a hot girl, no, I mean, nobody's going to pay to see me strip. Please, if you want to pay to see me strip, keep the emails to yourself, because it's going to be like from Tinker. But if I was a hot girl, I would completely, here's what I would do. If I were a hot girl, I would seriously strip for like 5 years, because you got five good stripping years in you. And that's not because... some, you know, thing about, like, older women. What, nothing to do, it's just stripping takes a lot out of you. It's a stressful career. And you age differently as a stripper. If you're a stripper, you age, like, at three times normal human life. You're like a fruit fly.
Like porn star aging.
It's totally. It's like fruit fly aging, yeah. But if you're a hot girl, I would suggest that you start stripping at 21. But the key, here's the thing about being a stripper, and everybody who's known a stripper knows this, that they always mean to get out of the career, and they never do. They're always, like, they always want to get, like, every stripper you meet, it's like, oh, I'm going to become a realtor, you know? I'm going to become a political science teacher, and they never do. Because the money is so good, they squander it all, they all get drug habits, and so they never leave the life. Here's the thing, though. If you're a hot girl, you strip for, like, 5 years, but set yourself an exit time. Set yourself a deadline at which you're going to stop stripping. If you are a dedicated, good-looking woman, you could probably make... $500,000 in 5 years. And then you just set yourself an exit time that when you get out.
Well, probably more than that if you're making $10,000 a night.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot more than that.
Like that. But then you just set yourself a time where you're like, I'm going to leave in 5 years. Mm-hmm. You'd be set for life.
And you get married to the club manager who has a mansion in Montecito, and then you're all set.
Totally.
That's what one of my friends did.
I was going to say, that sounds a little specific.
I know. That.
And hang up that sequin thong for the last time.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Where were we?
I have no idea.
Well, we're talking about the stripping story. The officers require these men to strip and pose for full-body pictures. The officers charged the men with misdemeanor drug possession offenses. I felt very isolated, said one. Not only did they make us take our clothes off, but before asking me to take my clothes off, he said, I'm not gay. That's very uncomfortable.
Fantastic.
So the lawyer said the police officer used the power of the state to force my clients, who didn't have a choice, to take their clothes off. It's not part of regular policy and procedures, but that's what was done.
All right.
Meanwhile, a couple who took their 4-year-old daughter with them when they burglarized churches were jailed after being charged with one break-in. The 4-year-old was placed in custody of the Erie County Office of Children and Youth after their parents were arrested yesterday. The two were having money problems and confessed to breaking in after they were questioned about crimes based on eyewitness accounts. Police charge a couple with burglary of two churches.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Should we do the top five here, or should we break and get it out of the way? Sarah?
I think we could do the top five.
Why don't we break and make sure it's all set up? I want to make sure that I've got it all set up. Let me read a couple emails here. Then we'll break. Rick, are there claw marks on your desk now from being from talking to Mr. Proper Politics? It sounded like you were going to have an aneurysm, but my hand is off to you for being nice to the political listeners. Rick... and let's see, what else do we have here? I appreciate you're trying to look like a grown-up radio show when the coin cameras are there, but I can't figure out why you'd want to make your show sound like something no one anywhere would want to listen to. Who are you trying to impress? Because that's the only way they'll put it on, I think. I don't think that they're going to... Like, this actual show that we do here, I think that They would probably adjudicate it as being a little immature.
Now, they played Tim reading those emails over porn music.
That is true. If you watch the last time Coin was here, they had Tim going, I want to shove you in a corner and my chocolate body against you, or whatever it was. I want to press my hot man flesh. You know, it was something like that.
That was awesome.
Best show ever. All right. Let's see. Pleased to be describing more what Sarah looks like. I figured it out. I put my finger on who you look like right now. In the movie Live from Baghdad, starring Michael Keaton and Helena Bonham Carter, you look just like Helena Bonham Carter's character in Live from Baghdad, which is the made-for-HBO film about the CNN broadcast during the first Gulf War, which is a fantastic film, by the way. You look just like Helena Bonham Carter in that film. So, kids, go look up, do a Google image search, look up Helena Bonham Carter in Live from Baghdad. That's exactly what Sarah looks like today. Because she went through most of the movie, black tank top, kind of prominent lipstick, sort of the long hair, jewelry, you know, the whatever. You look just like her in that film.
Okay, I'll look it up.
There you go. All right, shall we break?
Yeah, I want to make sure this top five's right.
All right, so we're going to break. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to break. We're going to come back with the top five New Kids on the Block songs. As determined by Sarah Dillon. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You say they don't go anywhere. Back after this.